Lord of mercy.
Oh my god. I see the counter, but do I care? I don't. Anyway, welcome to a new episode of Black Girl Charmed. We're back after, what, a two-week hiatus?
Yeah. And then another week hiatus next week. Are we going to record drunk next Friday?
I feel like that would be faster because we're going to be in the same place and you have multiple babysitters.
Well, he'll be asleep.
Yeah, but you know, just in case, like, he wakes up as he is prone to do.
Not anymore, bitches. We sleeping through the
night. Round of applause. Yay!
There we get in there. I had a mommy meltdown this week. We went to daycare and she was like, I think he's ready for big boy food because they provide lunches. Mm-hmm. And she was like, he doesn't eat the meals at home. I've been doing like organic meals and he won't eat them at home because he eats with us. Mm-hmm. So I was sending them to daycare, but she was like, when he sees what the other kids are eating, he don't want it. So I think that it's time to put him on what the other kids are having. And then she was like, and he needs hard shoes because he's getting ready to stand and walk. And I got in the car. I was like sobbing.
You, my big boy, you're supposed to be my baby. You're growing too fast.
I feel like, because I know I'm not doing this again, right? Like, I am definitive never having another child. So it's like, all of these firsts are also like all of my lasts, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
I mean, it was maybe a moment. Our little sister will, you know, give you a baby.
I don't want no hotep baby. Talk about grand blessings, auntie. I'm good.
Grand Rhino, auntie. Have you communed with nature yet? Have you grounded yourself before emerging into the real world? Have you said your words of affirmation?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yo, legitimately, that shit used to be so funny because I'd be getting ready for work and then they would be having like their words of affirmation moment. It would just be like, y'all motherfuckers are gay. Like, gay.
Y'all gonna call me. Y'all gonna call me talking about swoobody-da-booda. Come on, be my baby tonight. I'm like, oh, you take after your mother. Okay.
Oh my god.
Lord. Okay, well let's get the. You said you're bored.
I said, Lord.
Oh, I was like, we doing a whole podcast, and I am boring you.
Lord,
let this show on the road.
I'm being attacked by Canada and attacked by you. What have you been watching, me person?
Real PD Kansas City. It's like a Next 48, which I don't have A&E anymore. So it's like a Next 48, but in Kansas. It's really good. What I say next? Oh, yeah. The first. What's the Next 48 then? That's a movie.
First 48 is... Another 48 Hours is...
Okay, whatever. You know what I'm thinking about. Leave me alone.
Another 48 Hours is Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy.
I know all the shows and movies that have ever existed.
Yeah, I don't. That's it?
But I haven't really been watching. Yeah, I haven't really been watching anything. I've been playing video games.
What are you playing?
I've been playing Strange Horticulture. I finished the overall game last night, so I'm just finishing up some stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I think I'm going to start Lake tomorrow. But other than that, yeah, I've been taking out my little my big laptop and playing video games. I'm waiting for Story of Seasons to come out at the end of the month. It's a redo and it's supposed to be really good. I'm excited. You're playing
Breath Zelda, of the Wild. Yeah.
Which is not a cozy game at all. Like, all the cozy girls are like, oh my god, this is so... You're fucking lying. I watched Jamel play that shit. It is not cozy at all.
There are puzzles. Like I literally did like a shrine today. It took me so many tries. I think it took me like 30 fucking tries to
See what I'm
do it.
saying? Mm-mm.
And it's just like I don't need this in my life. And then
That's
the
not cozy. That does not bring me joy. Like watching it for him stresses me out.
Well, he's paying the new one. So I think like he needed something like I'm a child. I needed something to keep me occupied. So he was like, "Here, Zelda, go play it." So here we are.
Aww.
And you're not supposed to play the new one without playing the old one. I mean, you
No.
can,
But your
but
save file transfers over.
okay. Look, hi Panther. Welcome to the show.
Have a whole list of like Switch games that are coming out this
I
month.
bought
Well,
Jenny LeClue. It's literally
you did.
downloaded, but Zelda. Zelda was right there. But I have it. It's there. Whenever I
That's
want a
good.
mental
There's
break from
it's a,
Zelda,
it
and
has puzzles. It has puzzles, but the puzzles aren't like overly complicated and they're cute and fun versus like
oh, I don't have to like
Jamel is
freeze things and like
no,
stop
like
time.
Jamel is like building shit and launching shit and you gotta launch it at a certain time. And I was like, the engineer in your brain is soothed by
Having fun.
this.
He's having so much fun, yeah.
I am not.
There was like a
No.
thing at the shrine I was doing. I had to like move a ball from one part of the like it was a puzzle, like through a maze and get it to the other side so then it could go down a ramp and into a hole. And you have to move the switch to move the ball. It
See
was
what I'm saying, Dad's? See, I'm stressed out looking at you being stressed out talking about the game.
it.
See, that's not cool. Aiden is also playing. He just finished Breath of the Wild, so they got
Okay.
him,
Tears.
what's it called? Tears of the Kingdom yesterday. So Mel is using Tears of the Kingdom to teach him about physics, because you know our boy got into a very specialized middle school, so.
Yeah. I was actually listening to Pod Crush yesterday, and they had Boywood Junior on there, and he was talking about how his kid is like now in the first grade and is in love with like geography, but they're not going to teach geography for another like couple of years. And he's like, "Damn,
Yeah.
my kid is going to be screwed by the time he gets by the time they teach it because everything will be outdated for him." And it's like,
Everything will
damn.
be outdated. Oh my, I mean, if we even still exist, right? Jesus Christ, you got like Apocalypse Now, haha, boom, boom, in New York going on.
You know what? I don't know what Barry Allen did. All I'm saying is I started rewatching the CW's The Flash, and I get to like season five. And here we have like another apocalypse. I'm blaming it on Barry friggin' Yellowstone is finally on Peacock, so that's what I did
Yay!
today. And yo, y'all get real spicy in our fucking comments, and I will have y'all relax yourselves, okay? Cool it now. Cool it. Y'all couples therapy junkies. Telling me to get my house in order. I like, bruh, y'all pay Showtime or pay me, okay? I'm doing this for free, for the free. And y'all over here just having all these expectations of me. Talking about how I'm like, you guys are reacting to clips very aggressively, which is kind of funny, but also kind of scary. What the fuck? Have you looked at our comment section? Pick a
Not
video.
lately.
Pick a video. Our comment
I
section
mean,
is.
the last few that I looked at, you handled it with so great, so much grace and so classy. I was like, oh.
I don't like to
I
read
stopped
the
looking at
comments.
our comment section because I get so aggressive. And I think honestly, that's because of my last role where I had all this aggression built up and I had nowhere to store it. So maybe now that I'm in a better role, it's way more work, but it's so much more enjoyable. Maybe I'll start looking at our comment section again without wanting to like tell them to go fuck off.
Yo. Like, I feel like I need to have a very special episode of Black Girl Charm just dedicated to like couples therapy.
We could do that. We could do that next week. We can watch an episode and we can talk about couples therapy. And then we can have our other live. Sister.
We can actually go live on TikTok. Just
bring your mic.
Okay, I will.
And you bring your mic and I will buy you Cafe Bustelo.
Yay! I'll bring my mic. I was like, damn, am I bringing both my laptops? Because, you know, that's a thing.
Do you have to bring both the laptops or can we just use mine?
Well, I'm bringing one laptop anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Yo, matter of fact, we'll do that. Next Friday, which is, well, Friday for you guys, because this will drop on a Wednesday. We'll go live. I will put it on... I will do stuff. I will promote it. We'll watch an episode of Couples Therapy.
I will probably be really drunk, okay? I'm offended you know that now. I'm going to be drunk from the entire time guys get down here. I've had a creature alive for 12 years.
And you chose that life both times.
Both times.
You a struggling person. I wonder if...
Yeah.
You definitely stronger. Actually, it was really funny. I was telling Joe the other day, if we did have a kid, that it would have a very unhealthy attachment style because I don't get attached to people and he doesn't get attached to things. So, like...
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine that kids being like, all right.
He can be like, Auntie Nell, can I spend the summer with you? Come on, baby. Come on.
You know who's not spending the summer? The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse in this
wild
ass episode.
Let me tell you something. I feel like they were like, we get into the end of the season, we got leftover money, and we gonna go wild. Them late 1990 graphics.
Yo. Anyway, guys, we are on season 2, episode 21, Apocalypse Now. The original air date, May 11th, 2000. The writers are Cheryl J. Anderson, whose full credits are in season 1, episode 9, The Witch is Back, and Sanford Golden, who has 16 writing credits, including Boston Legal, Private Practice, and Profiler. The director is Michael Zimberg, and his full credits are in season 2, episode 10, Heartbreak City. You know, and that was a good episode, too. What happened?
This anyway, was a bad episode.
It was a bad Leo episode. You know what? One thing he can do is direct toxic men, and he did that very well. Leo was a piece of shit in this episode, and I've been saying it all season. I said it in our last episode, and it is on full display this episode. But before we get into how psycho and controlling and toxic Leo is, let's get into these guest stars.
We had a lot of guest stars. The guy who played War, his face is so memorable Thompson, to me, but I don't know where I've seen him.
Brian Thompson, who played Ward, has 104 credits, including Burn Notice, Buffy, and Dark Angel.
I've definitely seen him in Buffy. That's what it is. He played a vampire.
Yeah, I remember that hard. He has a hard face. He was also in this, like, I literally saw the clip today. This is why I remember it. In, like, a season, like, 2 seasons ago on 911 with Angela Bassett and not Lone Star. Anyway.
it's the hatred that you have for Lone Star.
Like, I will never watch Lone Star. Like, as much as I love me some Hoyt and John McClane's sister, it's not enough. It ain't enough.
I love them together, though. That first season was really good. And then, just like you do with everything else, you ruined it for me. So, I haven't watched it since. But I did watch all of the first season.
You know what I do? I watch Lone Star on TikTok. Specifically for Hoyt and China's sister.
I love them.
None of that Rob Lowe bullshit. Anyway, Jeff Ricketts played Famine. He has 39 credits, including Angel, NYPD Blue, and The Drew Carey Show. Patrick Kilpatrick as Death had 150 credits, including Chuck, Nip Tuck, and Cold Case. Gregory Blake played Strife, 118 credits, including All Rise, The Charmed Reboot, and Grimm. And you don't remember him from All Rise? That was your show.
Ain't that your show?
Ain't that your friend?
I was watching it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember people.
And last but certainly not least, our special musical guest, Paula Cole, which, you know, I don't really know if I would want to, like, pop my pussy to Paula Cole in a nightclub.
Yeah, I literally had that as my notes. Like, one, first of all, I thought I was going to get, I don't want to wait for our love to be over. Like, that's what I thought I was going to get. Like, I thought I was going to get that. But I got this most depressing ass song about police brutality. I would have walked out and left the most horrifying review.
I came here to pop my pussy on a Friday night and he over here making ballads about police brutality. The fuck is this? The drinks are
I was like, what is going on? Like, who did the cops shoot this time? Like, what the fuck? It was a lot.
Normally,
she's trying to dance. It was awkward.
I came here when Dave Navarro was playing, but Paula Cole, they maybe should have saved this for a Wednesday night, not a Friday night.
Right. It would have been the Yelp review would have gotten drunk because you and I would have been sitting here cracking and making mad jokes at the bar and making friends with the bartender. So I would have still have left intoxicated, but she was definitely getting a bad review.
It was just, oh man.
I'd have been like, and that man with the gray teeth kept hitting on me all night.
Anyway, the Peacock synopsis is the Charmed Ones battle the four horsemen of the apocalypse, guest Paula Cole. IMDb says, when Prue is sucked into a vortex with an apocalypse horseman, Phoebe and Piper are forced to choose between saving their sister and the world. And the DVD says, Piper, Phoebe, and Leo must rescue Prue, who has become trapped in a vortex with one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The song after the credits is Be Somebody by Paula Cole. Once again, I can't pop my pussy into this, so whatever. Any initial thoughts for the ep?
So my initial thoughts is that I need Leo to have, like, white lighter friends. The fact that, like, this man is
He's not left them.
Like, how you mad that your girlfriend
is hanging out with
her sisters?
I wish you guys were on fucking mortals. Because, like, mortals hate each other. No, they don't.
You know what it reminds me of? Seeing how we're going to do the therapy show next week. He reminds me of one of those men who, like, love bombs you, gets you to fall in love with him, and then wants to separate you from your sisters and your family.
Because,
like, the fact that he was, well, I love her too. I love her as well. But, get a job. And then also, the elders can go to fucking hell. Like, I didn't hate the elders until we got to the Harry Potter seasons of Charmed. But the hatred that I have for them, like, starting now, has only increased through this season. Because the fact that they were like, oh, let me pick up the phone and call my homeboys on the other side is wild to me.
The fact that, like, Leo didn't know how to do his job, on top of the white lighters just being like, hey, girl, what's up? How you doing? Anyway.
You know why Leo not doing his job wasn't like a highlight for me is because I'm used to that now. I feel like we get more excited when Leo's like, wait, I have an answer for you. And I'm like, oh shit. But I mean, I feel like this is just normal Leo. Like, okay.
You're not wrong.
I wasn't expecting anything.
I don't like No, we'll just start the episode instead of, like, talking around it. Let's get into it.
Okay. So, they're having a sister's day, which we're going to have soon. My sisters are coming. We're going to have a sister's day and get drunk off of wine. But no, they're having a sister's day. They come back from shopping. They come back to the house, and they're in the kitchen, and Prue turns on the TV. But she turns it off because of the world... Just picture like 2021, a peak in the middle of COVID. That is what the world is looking like right now. There's just violence and aggression. And apparently there's just been a spike in violent behavior over the last couple of days. And they're having conversations. And Phoebe is talking about how her sociology professor is like, well, this is what happens when you start to have like a morally and ethical decline. And I really, really love this class. And so because I love this class, I bought a book. And the book is basically one of these what would you do questions type of book. And it's a very thick book. So she thinks it'd be a really good game to play at P3. Which...
Y'all are fucking boring. Yo, what are y'all doing okay. at P3?
All right. I want to say that. I want to say that. Because I feel like when we have hung out, if I'm pulling out a book and you and I have both done it at a club, it means I'm bored and I want to go.
Yeah, it's either I'm the first one at the bar or we've been here too long and I'm just here.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, like you still want to have fun and I need to turn my brain off for a second or else nobody's having fun.
Yeah. Or there has been times where I'm trying to seal the deal.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I wasn't trying to say that. But yeah, there are times when, you know what? I struck out tonight, but you not. So I'm gonna just take my book out, and you're going to tap me on the shoulder and let me know when we're ready to go. You know what I think about? I always think about that like, Christmas.
I think about that all the time,
That Christmas was
so glad I didn't have. So glad I didn't have a girl.
Yo. So I'm going to tell a story without telling the story. It's just so fun that, once again, I was not getting any action, but Ray needed a nap. So Ray took the free bedroom and went to sleep. Y'all can do whatever the grown-ass fun y'all want to do. And then I just remember somebody politely knocking on the door. Hey, do you know how to pick a lock? Why the fuck are you asking me? What? Did she lock herself in the bathroom again?
Because her boyfriend's a doctor.
Yeah, she locked herself in the bathroom again. In somebody else's home? Yeah. Do you know how to pick a lock so we can get her out? Did you at least get some sex? Can you get her out the bathroom? And I did it. You're welcome, guys.
Well, you had to also talk her off a ledge because didn't she, like, call her ex-boyfriend at the time and was saying that we were, like, being mean to her and yelling at her. Like, the lie that she had concocted.
And she pretty much made it seem like we were about to sell her into sex trafficking.
Oh
and
my.
she felt very uncomfortable, and that's why she locked herself in the bathroom. Shenanigans, shenanigans, and now they're
So,
married. Anyway.
and they're married. And that's why, if a building was on fire, I would probably save five strangers and not her. But at the time the question was posed, the girl said that they would save their one sibling. And it was without a thought, they all agreed upon it. So Phoebe was going to take the book and get herself a question to ask the other two girls, but the doorbell rang and it was Leo, and he rang the doorbell because he wanted to, give them time to bond, and he didn't want to feel like, he was intruding by orbing in, and because, they're getting so much more closer nowadays, he didn't want to just how he said it, and it wasn't what he said.
It's how
But
he
it
said
was
it.
how he said it, I was already like annoyed. Because why are you bringing up the fact that the other two women that I live with, that are my sisters, that I'm finally like, we've come to a place where we're comfortable in being witches and we're comfortable in being sisters and doing all of this stuff together day in and day out. As our white lighter, why are you mad about that?
Also, as their bond grows, so do their powers. So it's a win, win, win. You psycho.
It could have been Dan.
It should have been
So he wants to take her to dinner before the Paula Cole concert. And she was like, well, I'm hanging. First of all, the look of disappointment on her face when she asked him. In my notes, I wrote, she don't want to pay for dinner again. This ain't got nothing to do with her sisters. She just don't want to have to like put this shit as a business expense anymore.
This man always want to go on a date, but never have no date money. And it's just like, and before all the dude bros find this clip and like call me a gold digger, like park dates are fun. Like hiking dates, fun. I love a good hike. I love a good rollerblade. Those are fun. A little cute little picnic in the park, cool. But if that's all that we're doing, you don't like hiking, that's why. Don't give me that
I
face.
don't like hiking. Don't take me on no park date either. What was that meme that you sent me this morning? Spend money on me and tell me that I am pretty. I am too old to be going on no goddamn park. You better at least take me to Starbucks and let me get a $12 drink. What is going on?
Where,
No.
honestly, you can finesse it too, because what you can do is everybody. You have access to a Starbucks gift card. At least once or twice in your life, somebody has gifted you a Starbucks gift card. All you gotta do is add that shit to the Starbucks app. They don't know that you ain't paid for that shit. They didn't know. They don't need to know.
Something have your mama like I just feel like at her grown age and her being a businesswoman and rich dad was next door. You can call me a, I don't care, y'all can call me a gold digger, that's fine. I will be
I
having my
mean,
avocado toast tomorrow morning though, so call me a gold digger,
you're so
okay?
foolish.
Because ain't no way. So Prue and
Continue.
Phoebe clearly see that he is pouting like the little bitch boy that he is and convinces her to go. And I just feel like if y'all two were to ever do that to me, I would be, y'all should have had my back. She did not want to pay for dinner, but she goes.
You know what?
So,
Nah, you chose that brokey.
they pushed him.
You love him, right? That's your man, right? That's your boo-boo. You gave up a man with his own business and a retirement fund. Not even just his own business and retirement fund. He's getting MLB checks. You gave it up for a broke handyman and you now complaining about splitting the bill? Oh, wait. You just covering the whole bill? You picked that.
It will, And I feel like this is a hill that I'm going to die on. I feel like we've talked about this before. But the writing and the continuity is so... I think that's what makes me so upset about the whole Dan Leo situation. The continuity is so bad. We watched these girls go into the future where her sister was about to be killed because of the crap that we did. We watched them also go back into past lifetimes where her boyfriend at the time knew that she was a witch. We watched them do 24-hour, 48-hour truth spells and nothing. Like, they didn't give this man a fighting chance in this season to make them work. And it, like, even if her and Leo were the end goal, at least make me feel like Dan had a fighting chance. And that's what bothers me about it.
What bothered me about it and still bothers me about it is that there was nothing that Leo has done or said outside of healing her when she got Arroyo fever. Like, once again, Leo ain't the only white lighter. There's plenty of white lighters. They make white lighters all the fucking time. It didn't have to be him. Y'all forced him on us. And was like,
and I do love me Brian Krause. It is not a Brian Krause hate account.
Oh, we love that
season
man.
Two Leo.
He aging like a bar owner, but like a cool bar owner.
He's, oh my god. True Blood.
Sam? What is Merlot?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is giving pure Sam Merlot vibes.
Yes. But in this episode, he is on full bitch assness because they're returning from dinner and she's driving because he don't know. I'm guessing he don't know how to drive. I guess he couldn't get a license because he's a white lighter, but she's driving and whatever. So they're having this whole conversation about the fact that, like, she's always with her sisters, that he wishes that they were normal sisters because normal sisters aren't that close. And there's a guy behind them honking and doing all this stuff. And he gets really frustrated, goes around them, turns, and continues to speed down the road and ends up in a car accident that he clearly caused. And the guy that he hits gets out the car, pulls him out of the window and starts to beat the shit out of him. It turns into this whole fight. Piper gets out to figure out what's going on, tries to freeze the fight. Everybody else freezes, but this guy standing in a black suit with a green tie. He sees her. She sees him. He starts running. She, you know what? Kudos to Piper here, because I feel like we always see Piper as like timid and always a sister that's very hesitant. And she immediately went after homeboy. Leo was like, don't do it. You don't know who he is. She wasn't about that rat-tat-tat shit. She's a charmed one, motherfucker.
He and goes like, down to this... be fair, I can't really... He is over here with a pen and pad taking notes. I really am not afraid of a man who's auditing a fight. Like, I'm gonna run after that man.
He runs down this alleyway and he jumps up and conjures a horse, lands on the horse, continues to ride the horse, and then he disappears. So when she gets into the alleyway, he's already gone. And then he shows up in a valley, and there's three other men on horses as well. And they're playing like Outlander music.
It's giving full
like LARP. Highlander music. Like, what was that?
It was giving full LARP. And, you know, sometimes you just gotta go along with it.
It was weird. So they finally make it to P3, where Paula Cole is, oh God. First of all, I love Paula Cole, but this performance was horrible. She's like, trying to dance, and it reminds me of like Woodstock where everybody's high and is just like jerking with the music or thinking that they're jerking with the music. And the song is about police brutality. And I was like, Paula Cole, what you know about police brutality?
Yo, it was just very...
Listen, if I've worked 40 to 50 hours and I have made it to P3 and this is the performance that's getting put on...
Hello, yo. Man.
So the other two sisters are at the bar and they're playing the game with the bartender.
And so they're doing the whole... This shit is whack. What the fuck?
Which is probably why she was like, she knows it's going to be bad. Let me just buy this book to keep my spirits up at the bar. When Piper walks in, she fills in the girls on everything that happens. And Leo's like, I tried to stop her, but your sister didn't listen. Nobody asked you to chime in. This was a sisters meeting. Just stand there and look cute. They automatically are like, let's go back to the house and let's go check the Book of Shadows to figure out who this man in a black suit with a green tie is. We can wrap this up and get back to our daily business. And I was okay. I was okay with that. So Green Tie Man is telling his colleagues all about this witch that saw him, and they've automatically come up with a plan like, we got this deadline at 7:00. She cannot stop that deadline. The source will kill us like he killed the last four people before us, and I'm not playing that shit. We need to set a trap for her, and we gonna murk this bitch. We gonna wrap this shit up real quick. So while they're having that whole conversation, the girls are trying to figure out who this guy is. They've narrowed down some suspects, and they're just gonna go and pick the best one and move forward in. And Leo comes in with this whole long-ass monologue about how they know better than this. They shouldn't be doing this. Why are you trying to figure, like, why are you going into the scene without actually knowing who you're fighting?
Like,
but I feel like they've done that before.
He was like, you can't just guess. You need to be sure. And they're just like, yeah, Leo, we know, but it's not like we have like the 411 on every Tom, Bob, and Beelzebub. And like,
it's not like we have a white lighter with like a straight connection to the elders who can tell us what we're dealing with. I wouldn't make a good charm one. Just would not. Because to me, like, why are you here? He goes through this whole monologue, whatever, and the girls are like, that's nice, that's fine, thank you for the input that we did not ask for. Piper says she's going to go mix a potion. Prue calls Daryl, and the police station is wild. That man looked exhausted. And the moment he knew that it was Prue on the phone, like, his face aged 2 years. Don't tell me it's a demon. And he was like, I can't leave to help you girls out. And she was like, we don't want you to leave, just try to, you know, can you narrow down what the hot spot is? Yeah. Right. So he's like, oh, and then you can see the relief in his face. He was like, all right, that's, I could do that. I could do that. So they go to this hot spot and it is full on Michael Jackson. They don't give a fuck about us. Like,
the Michael Jackson in Harlem was fucking performing that shit. And with the orange background around him, due to like Canada being, you know, a smoky bitch, it's just like, damn. What's going on? This week is going to be distracting. Continue.
They find Green Tie. He starts running. They start pursuing him. They end up again in like this weird alleyway corner. And Red Tie ends up grabbing Prue. The other three start chanting some random shit. Piper and Phoebe start chanting some random shit. And to me, I was like, this don't look like it's going to go right because y'all both chanting random shit. Mm-hmm. And he got your sister, but whatever. So they chant random shit. Piper throws a potion where Prue is standing. And of course, bad shit happens. The ground opens up and sucks in Red Tie and Prue. And the other horsemen like, fuck, we gotta go. So it's literally just Piper, and Phoebe. And I feel like Piper does amazingly well in these really, like, sad scenes. I feel like that's where she shines the most. Because she's automatically like, oh, fuck, I just killed my sister. I have sent her to her death. What the fuck? And I just felt like it kind of changed the scene to me from being like, y'all are dumbass bitches. So, oh my God, you just lost your sister. And Phoebe's telling her that's not what happened. We probably just sent her to another dimension. I don't feel like she's gone. I feel like we would have seen her spirit if she did leave. Our sister is still with her. So she's basically trying to talk her off the edge. The horseman up here in this, like, corporate office. And I feel like that is how the demon world works. I feel like there's just, like, corporate headquarters and Wall Street just everywhere. They appear at an office with the Omega symbol as the logo. And we find out that they are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And it is time to end the world by 7 o'clock. Yellow Tie is worried that Red Tie is dead. Green Tie is telling him, look, the source is the only one that can take us out. And they start arguing about who is right or wrong in the whole situation and who caused this. Yellow Tie is like, can we stop arguing? Because if we miss this deadline, we're going to be like all the other horsemen before us. Black Tie points out that Red Tie is war, and we need war to actually kick off the apocalypse. So we need to get him back sooner than later. And then as you're looking at the office, all of these TV screens are showing pictures of like strife and all this bad shit that's happening on in the world. Piper and Phoebe go back to the attic. Leo has been through the entire book and has found nothing. And then Piper gets this chill and she automatically knows that it's Prue. Automatically. And they're like, what? What? It's Prue? And she's like, I don't know how. Phoebe calls out to Prue and magically the spirit board just happens to be like gently placed on this side table in the attic. And Prue spells out, or who we think is Prue, because it's a white bubble with Prue's face in it, spells out help. And then there's a red bubble with War's face in it. And he, like, knocks her off the spirit board. They start, like, bouncing back and forth and knocking shit over in the attic. But then they pass through the window, and the window doesn't break. And I thought that was so strange. Like, they were able to, like, knock shit onto the floor, but then they passed through the window. The window didn't break, but
they didn't have the budget for breaking a window. And I look like, if these were black witches, it would have been so good. Like, ooh, like, you know when you get that feeling and you're like, oh, that's Big Mama.
Yeah.
And I like, it would have been conveyed a lot better and a lot, it would have been so much stronger had it been, like, Afro-American witches, but this is the 90s / so go fuck yourself.
After they watch Prue leave, Piper is she's ready, and she basically tells Leo
the battery she needed in her back.
Yeah, she tells Leo, like, you need to go and figure out what the fuck is going on, because my sister is clearly trapped somewhere. And he's trying to orb, and she's like, orb faster! And I was like, damn right.
But the thing about it is also like, you went through the book, you yourself couldn't find anything, why wouldn't you be like, yo, I'm gonna go talk to my bosses. You know what? I don't know the answer right now, but I'm gonna go check with my manager, and I'm gonna follow up with you via email. Hello? But whatever. You can't expect the man to do his job correctly.
Right. That's why I was like, I don't even know why you expected that. So we're back at the horseman's headquarters. The TV is showing one scene after the other of War, and then finally it's just static. And War is coming through the static and is telling them, like, you need to talk to the source. We need to cooperate. That's the only way he's going to be free. And I was like, oh, we got budget. We got orbs with faces in them. And we doing static and shit. Oh, they got the budget.
no, don't kill me.
Yeah. Back at the sister's house, Leo finally has done something right. His bosses have talked with the horsemen bosses, and the only way that Prue and War can be freed is if Piper and Phoebe work with the horsemen. At the time, we don't know it's the horsemen, or they don't know it's the horsemen, but we know it's the horsemen. Leo's like, this is a trap. I definitely believe that there's something else at play. They're evil. They're not going to play by the same rules as us. And Piper and Phoebe just
but
like,
you yeah. have free will to make up your mind. I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, if it were me and my brother, it wouldn't. Sorry to that man. Bye, brother. But if y'all want to, y'all can.
And they have blown him off. They're just like, thanks, you told us that we have free will, thanks for letting us know, and with our free will we are going to do whatever we have to do to save our sister. So you either with us or you can go stay on the sidelines like you do every other episode and move on. Like, I don't know why you putting bass in your voice when you speak to me, but I'm gonna need you to fix that. Like, chill the fuck out. So they have decided that they are going to work with the horsemen. They end up in like the park or whatever like that to go meet with them. They start arguing back and forth about who's right, who's wrong, who's a trap, who's not a trap. And finally, Piper shakes hands with Green Tie and there is a crash of thunder in the background. I kind of am with Leo on this one. Piper and Phoebe bring them back to their manor because they think that's the safest. And because the horsemen didn't offer to bring them back to like their headquarters, you're not going to be on. Not where I lay my head. That would not have been me, but okay. So they're having this.
I don't know, where would you go then? If we can't go there and we can't go to the manor. Because to Piper's point, like, they're strongest in the manor. So of course, why would we not want to be where we're stronger? But also, to your point and Leo's point, I don't want these motherfuckers in my house. I don't like nobody in my house.
I feel like this scene would have went differently with Black Witches, though, because you don't bring bad energy into the place. Like, you don't, you know, willingly bring bad energy into the place that you put your head at. And so it would have been interesting to see how that would have worked if there were Black writers in the room.
Yeah, because I feel like there would have been, we could have done this right here. In the, like, you know what? You do your research, I'll do my research, we'll meet up where all this shit went down and holler at you then. Or something.
Right. It'd have been interesting. I did know in that little back and forth that Leo and Piper had, I was like, why this man got so many opinions? Like, get a job, boo. Tomato, tomatoes. Go away.
Because like, you need a straight man to like, and not like straight man. Not, we don't need a straight man in the month of June, but you need a straight man in acting like the nerd, the guy, like the accountant type of person, the
yeah,
Debbie Downer. And that's what Leo's job is. Clearly. But it's like, what you want? Do you want her to, like, be a strong witch, or you want her to be your bitch? Because, like, you can't have it both ways.
Tam would have had it both ways. Tam would like, you got this, baby girl. You want me to go? You want me to go look this up? You want me to go hand out the Book of Shadows for you? I'm going to rub your feet when you get back. You got this. I'll be here when you get back. She'd be walking out the door. He'd be like, you know what? I can let you know. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Okay. All right. He probably would have packed her a bag, lunch, and everything. Man, what we could have had. Dan is a golden retriever.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway. So they're having this whole argument about who was right, who was wrong, who caused them to get sucked into the vortex, who was standing here, who was standing there, who was standing in the middle. They finally figure out where everybody was standing, and Piper was like, oh shit. And Phoebe was like, you see this shit too? And Piper was like, yeah. And they both picked up like stems. And they created a pentagram when they were chanting.
And you guys stole our symbol of peace, you bastards.
I wrote that down. So now that they have kind of figured out it was because of where they were standing and all of this stuff, Black Tab was like, he got to go back to the office. And as he goes back, Leo was like, I don't trust this motherfucker. I'm going to go and follow him. And I was like, this is the first time, like, we see him actually
use his head and do his fucking job.
Piper decides that she is going to go mix the potion again. And Yellow Tie follows her into the kitchen, even though she really doesn't want him to. This, I feel, is a setup for next season. So Phoebe's having this conversation with Green Tie. He is clearly flirting with her. And I want to say she's flirting back. Like, she's trying to play it off like, I'm just trying to use it to get information. But she clearly likes the attention that she is getting
from this. Yeah, because it's not the flirting that she's used to. It's some new, it's the quiet flirting that, like, oh, okay. You know, I'll be bad sometimes, you know.
Yeah, he asked her, like, have you always been a good witch? Have you ever been a demon?
And the answer is no.
On Saturdays and Sundays. Oh, sorry.
The answer is no, because we saw earlier this season where when they were cousins, she was a bad witch. And then in the first season, when she became a woogie, she's predisposed to evil. So mm-hmm. That's what he's picking up on. Mm-hmm. It's them leaving us breadcrumbs and to season three. Well, actually season four, if you want to be honest.
But he shows up in season three. And then we have like this balance against Goody Two Shoe Leo, which makes it makes it so much more delectable.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out that the spell that Green Tie used was in a dead language, probably Latin,
mm-hmm.
and that it was used for common witches. But in his flirting, he's like, we've realized that you're not such a common witch. And I was like, oh, okay, daddy.
Right. You know what? When the smart bad boy flirts with you, I love a smart bad boy. Mm-hmm,
they don't
make
mm-hmm.
them like they used to.
They don't make them like they used to. Leo Orbs in at Omega headquarters, and Orbs in the hallway in front of a door, and another employee sees him and it's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And you know what? Good job, Leo. I do applaud him because he automatically swung on homeboy and knocked him out.
You know who he won't swing on, Dan? His ass beat again.
And he ends up putting on the employee's suit and tie. And we see he goes into like the war room, and Black Tie is screaming at them like, you need to get more plague out. You need to do all of this. We have a job to do. And so he's standing there getting all of this information. And we find out, finally, that Red Tie is war, Green Tie is strife, Yellow Tie is famine, and Black Tie is death.
And they do it so, like, clunkily, too, because they zoom in on, like, Strife's tattoo, and then they, like, and then the one who's in the room with Piper, his tattoo starts itching. So it's like, ugh, you'll see this.
Piper does ask, though. Piper asks Famine, like, well, what is your tattoo for? And I feel like everybody knows the Omega sign. And I feel like as witches, how you don't know what the Omega sign is?
They only know parlor tricks.
Oh. Famine does not give her answers.
Season two, Sam and Dean would have had this wrapped up already.
Bobby?
Bob would have called you a fucking idiot. Bob would have been like, listen here, you fucking idiot. There's four of them. What happens in fours? Nothing good, right?
Are you not looking at what's going on in the world? Yeah. See, I just feel like you could have clearly pieced together that this was the Four Horsemen. Clearly. Like, I had automatically...
had a better fucking white lighter or Bobby as your white lighter.
Yeah. It's... like, I say that when we finish this episode, maybe we should do Supernatural, but God, Supernatural is so long. But know, to compare the two shows, because clearly Bobby is their white lighter, and the fact that Leo has a it's like Jesus on the main line, but they coming back like, I don't know what God wanted. I don't know.
Yo.
And the apostles are like, what? What, bro?
Bobby built a demonic panic room on a random Saturday that he had off because he was bored. We don't get to crystals until season 3. Are you fucking, yo, whatever.
Leo's, I mean, don't get me wrong. The boys end up, like, everybody that's around the boys ends up dying. But
I mean, everybody around the girls don't make it out too clean either.
You're right. So, the white bubble appears. And Phoebe hears her come into the room because she, like, knocked something over. And she goes to the spirit board and she spells out the number 4, which is the Roman numeral 4, and then H-O. H to the is O. H to the is A. Okay. And then...
I wanted them to make a whole joke so bad.
So badly?
It was right there.
In your face.
Like, and they were like, 4 hours? Stupid. Bitches.
This part doesn't make any sense to me, though, because if War had told... Oh, I guess it does make sense because he didn't want her to spell out. Okay. So the red bubble, which is War, ends up knocking her off of the spirit board. They end up bouncing around the room again and they end up flying out the window, and Green Tie is basically like, what's going on? She's like, I don't know. The potion is made. They have decided that they are going to meet back at 6:30 to get their counterparts back.
This is what doesn't make any sense to me. Because it is 6:01. And they like, all right, so we're going to be back. We're going to go to our office, gather our shit, and then meet y'all at 6:30. Bruh. Only y'all can, like, orb and shit and, like, teleport. We still have to take our fucking vehicle. Time means nothing. These are the slowest, 45 minutes ever?
So the plan is to change the words, like, vanquish to save, and they're just going to repeat the spell, but you know, do it nicer.
Yeah.
Leo has overstayed his welcome. He should have gotten the information and left. But he stayed. And the guy who he ends up knocking out as a demon wakes back up and is like, oh my God, he's not supposed to be here. He orbs out. That's just like, we don't have time for this bullshit. We got an apocalypse to start, motherfucker. Put your clothes back on. He then finally goes and tells the sisters that you're working with the Four Horsemen. And I'm going to let you handle this because he goes into another monologue and I was like, all right, we get it. All right, Dad.
So bitch ass was over here being a bitch ass. He's like, nah, yo, y'all can't let y'all sister, like, she got to die. Like, I love her. I love her up. I love her down. That's my homie. If it wasn't for Piper, you know, maybe it wasn't Prue. Who knows? Definitely wasn't going to be Phoebe. But she got to go. Like, if y'all save her, it's the apocalypse, and y'all can't stop that, so hi, girl, bye, girl. I'll pour some out for her. Maybe you'll meet another sister. Who knows?
Wow. I mean, I was like Piper, and my eyes glazed over. Like, when she was like, yeah, you can't save her, my eyes glazed over. I was like, do you not know who these girls are?
You're thinking, like, you just witches, sisters. You need to think like witches. How about
when you think like a white
lighter, bitch, and leave me the fuck alone?
Right. So clearly, they were like, "Yeah, you can go fuck yourself because you either with us or against us, and you can just stay in the house till I get back because you ain't got nothing else to do and you ain't got no job." Mm-hmm. We also find out that when the monks went to go translate the calendar, they fucked up, and it actually wasn't us partying like it was 1999, but it was partying more like whatever that date was in 2000 at 7 o'clock. And that's actually what the fact that he had this information, the fact that there were four men wearing ties that match, because I feel like the color black is always represented by death. The color red is always for violence. For me, yellow, I was thinking like vomit, but sure, let's go with pestilence. And then green was strife. Like, y'all don't have like,
and I don't know what circumstances would good and evil talk. Under what circumstances? They don't talk all the time, right? They're not like Ace Boon Coons. What do they talk about? What are they talking? Whatever.
But also, as, and this is, we haven't like gone into like, well, as a witch, what would you have done? But as witches, like numerology is a big thing. Color symbolism is a big thing. None of, like, they're wearing, you know, suits with ties. Like,
not even,
I automatically was like, oh, this is the Four Horsemen.
All right. To bring her up really quickly, even though we're not there yet. Paige was on her shit. One thing about Paige would be like, oh, the wind is going, like, west to east instead of east to west. This demon's afoot. Mm-mm, I don't like it. I hate it. I don't like this. What's going on? And they never have that awareness.
Mm-mm.
I know that's not your girl. I know that's not your homie.
That's not my girl. That's not my homie. Maybe I'm like, you know what, but maybe I will like her more, you know, being more technical this time around.
But one thing I always give to Paige, her spidey senses will always be going off. And these bitches, they be like, la, 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 la. It's just a regular Wednesday. It's like, no.
It's just irritated me. That just, so clearly they're going to pick the one sibling over five strangers. They go to meet the Four Horsemen at the spot. Phoebe goes to shake Strife's hand, and she gets a premonition of boom.
Of, like, what's gonna happen if they do this.
Of nuclear war. And she was like, oh, shit. Piper understands that there's something wrong, but she's not sure what it is. So they go to start the spell. Strife is chanting. Piper is chanting. But Phoebe does not chant with her. Strife finishes his chant. Piper kind of stops like midway through picking up what Phoebe is putting down. They're upset because they didn't. I mean, obviously the horsemen are upset.
Hey, bitch, what you doing?
Right. They've missed their 7 o'clock deadline. The source is pissed. The vortex opens up and Phoebe has the great idea. Well, since the vortex has opened up and these motherfuckers are getting sucked into it, let's get our sister back. So they do the chant. While the horsemen are like getting sucked into the vortex, both War and Prue pop out. War automatically is getting murdered by the source. They take Prue to safety, and the source kills the horsemen. You have just come from a vortex, bouncing around in a water bubble for the last 24 hours, maybe. And your first thought is, let me get dressed up and put on makeup and go to P3.
Yeah. Duh. I gotta celebrate Leo, not dying.
With a nap. Leo comes in and the bosses have said thank you for saving the world because it was through, and I feel like he should have said this Like, he couldn't have pulled Piper and Phoebe away. Like, why would you say this in front of Prue? Like, because you decided to not save your sister and let her die, you have saved the world, and so we want to give you one single clap.
It was more he was like, oh, because you guys decided to kill this bitch, there was too much good in the world, so yay, crisis averted, we won't try the apocalypse for another how many fucking years. And I don't even, more back to your original point, why the fuck was Prue there? Because homegirl looked depressed, she looked through, she was just like, you guys are really gonna kill me.
Right, I get it. I'm sitting here chilling at P3.
She's like, I get it, but ouch.
Right. Whatever. So Phoebe asked Leo if he wants to have a drink with them, and he's finally like, no, I think you guys should have some sister time, and he leaves. And the bartender comes in with the book and asks the same question over again, and this time they say the five strangers. And that's it.
Yay. So, yay. Like I said in the last episode, because there's no love chemistry to discuss, I'll be doing trivia. Okay. So the actor that plays War is the same actor that plays Cronus in season 5. Oh My Goddess, which is also probably where you remember him from. When discussing how to vanquish a type of demon, Phoebe says the chant was in iambic pentameter, which is 10 syllables per line, with the stress on even numbered syllables. When she later recites the spell is correct, in the correct meter, including stress on the correct syllables. So they were actually, they did their research for this one spell. Mm-hmm. The title is based on the movie Apocalypse Now. Jeff Ricketts, Famine, and Brian Thompson War both appeared on Buffy, but in different seasons. Thompson was a vampire in season 1, and Ricketts was the Watcher in season 3. The source is the Horseman's Boss, and the source and the elders communicate. So why didn't the elders just
imagine my mom communicating with like my worst enemy? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm looking at you suspect here on out, bitch. Like, nobody found that strange.
I didn't, because there have been other shows where they're like good and evil, like the head bitches talk to each other, but they explain it why they talk to each other or why they keep in communication. Like, it's weird, but it's not unheard of. It's just, they just called. They figured it out. Like, if the source was planning the apocalypse, why would I talk to you? Why would I give my plans away? But anyway, last and certainly not least, this is the first time that Leo displays his dislikeness for the closeness between Piper and her sisters. And that is the first step of alienation when it comes to an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any tweaks you would make to the episode?
Is that the first step, or is the second step that he is like, you know, when you watch them TikToks, they be like, my man don't do nothing, and I'm the one who works and pays the bills and clean up all the mm-hmm. households. And then people be like, girl, you were in an abusive relationship. Leave him. You the one with all the money. Why are you staying with this bum?
It's that couples therapy clip with like McCall and Michael. Yo, side note, we got our first community violation from fucking couples therapy, because there's a clip where this wife is like, I want to punch him in the face, like he makes me so angry, and they're like aggressive language in there, and it's like, I guess she's talking to her husband in front of the therapist. I don't know what's abuse about that, but I guess it is. And they won't let me like appeal it or anything. Like, every time I go to click on it to appeal, it just doesn't, like, it's a dead link. So,
oh wow,
it is what it is. So, but yeah, it's just so weird that, like, what did you think was gonna happen? Because Their powers are tied to their emotions and tied to their bond, as we will see in the season 3 episode. They have to be close for this to work. You know what this is reminding me of again? It's, I know you don't watch it, but, or maybe you stop watching it. Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
Uh-huh.
So the married couple, they have loud sex in the house. So they were, yes. So they were also playing like Truth or Dare one night. And then they were like, oh, we dare you guys to reenact a position that had her making that much noise. So the husband goes into the confessional and is just like, oh, I don't like other men hearing my wife moan. So then instead of not having sex or giving her pussy a break, he's like, we gonna have sex tonight, but you gonna be quiet. So she's being quiet, and then now he's mad at her because she's being quiet, because he can't nut with quiet sex. And it's like...
Girl, I'm done. I'm done.
And this is like, y'all men don't never think nothing through. You know you need sound to nut, and you telling her to shut the fuck up. You know that they need to be best friends for their powers to be strong, and you telling them, I don't like that you close up. I also don't like that you like that bitch. I'm just saying. Just 2 years ago, it was fuck her, but now, y'all cool. I guess.
I'm done here. And on that note...
I mean...
This has been another episode of Black Girl Charmed.
You're not gonna rate it? You're not gonna rate it?
I'm gonna give it.
It's giving. Say something nice. I'm trying.
3 out of 10. Power of 3. You know what? It wasn't that bad. It wasn't, because I feel like this is one of the longer episodes that we've had in a while, just because of Fuckboy Leo, which I'm gonna give it a 5. I'm gonna give it 4 horsemen plus Prue. Oh.
I'm going to give this a 5.5 out of 10 police brutality songs. The whole vibe was weird because Paula Cole just, no. The Piper quips were good. Like, the story moved along well enough. It just...
Yeah, it just...
It just didn't have that zhuzh, that je ne sais quoi.
Give... You know what? I'm so... So, my favorite episode, or one of my favorite episodes, because I do have a few, is the one where they go back in time and... To find out who your love is, they carve it into the orange. And I'm so afraid we're going to watch that under a technical eye, and it's going to, like, destroy the episode for me.
Well, I've watched this episode. This is one of my
favorite episodes.
I think we'll be fine. Because I think, that's the one time we actually see the continuity really stick on this show.
Yeah.
And I think that story's good. And it's, we have one more episode.
Damn you, Nip Tuck.
We have one more episode until season 3. So with that said, some witches be hoes. Blessed be.
Blessed be.